Good morning and welcome to our program. Today's message is a reminder that each of us are unique and special in God's eyes. Additionally, each of us have been granted grace through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So gather your family, open your hearts, and listen to the word. Psalm 139:14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
You never change. You are the God who say you are when I'm afraid. You come still my beauty God. You stay the same when hope is just a distant thought. You take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? And I confess, you're always enough for me. To you, I see the scars upon your hand and hold the truth. That's when I can't do all we can. I'm standing here beneath the shadow of the cross. I'm overwhelmed. And I keep finding hope in your what love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you and I confess you're always enough for me. For me to know you, I confess.
What love is this that you gave your life for me? That's why we are delightful. We are perfectly made, and we praise God for who He is and how He made us. And that's why it hurts me when I think about all the people in this world who don't feel that they're good enough. So many people who don't feel adequate. So many people who are full of doubt or even have a defeatist attitude. See, self-esteem is confidence in one's own worth. And unfortunately, there are so many of us walking around with low self-esteem. But in this scripture, David recognized that God's creation of man is something very special, and we are far different than any other creation on earth. Because of this, each of us are important. See, confidence and high self-esteem can lead to success in school, success at work, success in your marriage, and it can lead to stronger friendships. Moreover, it can make you healthier and comfortable enough to socialize and meet and greet people, even though you may not know the person at all. But arrogance is an overbearing or a very unpleasant pride, and confidence, having confidence, being confident is truly an issue of faith. See, if we are sure of ourselves, it's because we are sure that God will supply us with our every need. And we understand what's really appealing and attractive to God. See, you might not have the best smile, or you might have a large nose, or you might have big ears, but you're beautiful. You might not be the fittest person in the world, the tallest person in the world, the most confident person in the world, but you love God and fellow man. You might not have all your teeth or suffer from esotropia. In other words, your eyes might not be vertically aligned. Some people, when I was growing up, they called this being cross-eyed, but that doesn't mean you're not beautiful. In this verse, David is thinking about the beauty and power within. A baby in his mother's womb. The programming of our skin, our eyes, our hair, our facial features. All designed by the wonder of God. Even the brain, which is more complex than any computer we can imagine, the blood flowing through our bodies, God put this all together. Each of us is a beautiful work of art. And we know this to be true, that real beauty is within, and no matter what we do, no matter how many surgeries we have, our bodies will decline. And as we get wrinkles, as we go gray, as we grow old, our souls are our body and breath coming together. The soul is still there. So we are much better than our physical appearance. Each of us is unique. In the book of 1 Samuel, Chapter 16, God commanded Samuel to anoint one of Jesse's sons king. And Samuel, like many of us, had this picture in his head, like we do. We have pictures in our head of what a president, a minister, an influencer, and in this case, what a king looks like. And God said, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And sometimes God will show us, but also sometimes life will show us through heartache that choosing your spouse because of their looks is stinky thinking. Life will show you through financial ruin that selecting someone who's charismatic but not competent can kill your business. And this problem, it begins in early childhood. See, when we constantly tell our children how beautiful or handsome they are, Let me make it clear. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with telling them this, but we can't go too far. We have to teach them that looks are a small piece of the puzzle. And then there are those who single out something that's abnormal about a child, and we spotlight it all the time. They have a funny shaped head, so we call them peanut. They have a raspy voice, and we call them froggy. Those names and jabs can stay with a person for the rest of their lives, and focusing on what we consider as attractive qualities can be just as damaging. Compliments are good, but if we don't take the time to stress to them that true beauty is within, then we too contribute to this false impression of what's lovely. And then there's school, where these jokes about abnormalities are escalated. See, God doesn't see things the way we see them. He doesn't appreciate things the same way we value them. It's much deeper than appearance. I sent you the man who could be your husband, but you said he had a crooked smile. I showed you a woman who would make you the perfect mate, but you said she wasn't small enough. God said, I don't see what you see. I'm not looking at what you're looking at. He said it's deeper than the surface. Now back to Samuel. See, David had seven other brothers, and all seven were handsome. But God told Samuel, that's not the one, nor is he, not him. Don't look at his appearance or his height. I'm looking at something else. And finally, Samuel asked Jesse, are these all the sons? And Jesse answered, there is still the youngest. Now, the Bible says David was ruddy, which probably means he had reddish hair. I know some say it means his skin was reddish, but we're going to go with hair. And this suggests that his hair was not like his brothers. In other words, he stood out. So let's think about this. David, he was the youngest. And what do we do with the youngest sibling? You can ask my baby brother this. We pick on them. We give them orders. We push them around. And the seven other brothers were tall and handsome, so they probably received most of the attention. And they probably picked on David and David's height. David probably felt invisible. He didn't get the spotlight. See, all over the world, certain groups of people, certain people we define or see as beautiful, they get the spotlight. In the meantime, we ignore and isolate people we don't view as attractive or pleasant to be around. What if we spotlight someone who has a disability the way we spotlight a celebrity on the cover of GQ because he has a heart of love? What if we spotlight someone who's homeless the way we spotlight Miss America, because she has an unwavering love for the Lord? See, each of us should conduct a self-assessment and really take a look at how we treat others, how we view others, and people who may not appear as appealing to us, including people who suffer from mental illness, people who are without a home, people who have speech impediments. Every living person has a right to be heard, loved, and cared for. And if they're like David, a person after God's heart, in other words, they love and value the things that are pleasant to God, he or she can be the most beautiful person in the world, despite physical or outward blemishes. And like David, you praise God because you understand that every human being is wonderfully made. I knew a young lady a few years ago. She was about 17 or 18 years old. Now, physically, one would call her attractive. However, she had a very, very unpleasant attitude. And I said to her, if all you have are your looks, what happens when they diminish? And she said to me with all the confidence in the world, I'm going to always look good. I'm going to always look good. See, there are priorities, and if wealth, appearance, and charisma are your priorities, you're missing. Let me say, you're not close to the bullseye. Missing the bullseye can lead you to an abuser. Focusing on wealth, appearance, and charisma can lead you to someone who abuses you physically, emotionally, and sexually. Focusing on wealth, appearance, and charisma can lead you to a politician who doesn't have your interests in mind. Focusing on wealth, appearance, and charisma can lead you to a false prophet. And instead of leading you to God, they lead you to the enemy. There are some beautiful people in this world who can be a blessing in your life. But instead of showing them love, we ostracize them. Instead of accepting them the way they are, we reject them. It's not them. If you have a problem with someone's appearance, it's you. If you are ashamed to be seen with someone who's been a good friend, you have the problem. There were times in my life when I was intrigued by someone who said the right things and seemed to be a friend, but they were pretending. They pretended to be kind, but there were ulterior motives. I've had friends who I bragged about, friends who seemed to be fun to hang around, but the moment I started growing, they lied on me. They talked about me behind my back. They showed me who they were, but not before creating damage, not before draining me, not before creating chaos. Humorous, entertaining, but no compassion for fellow man. Lighthearted, amusing, but not close to God. See, God can present us with a package that might not be shiny, but inside the box, inside the wrapping paper, the gift is golden, the gift is loyalty, the gift is love, the gift is salvation. You have no idea what blessing is waiting for you when you accept people for their character and not for what they can do for you. You have no idea what blessing is waiting for you when you embrace people who are Christ-like and step away from people who are ungodly. You don't know what God will do for you when you stand by those who can't stand for themselves and you rebuke those who abuse others just because they can, just because they have leverage, just because. So what are you going to do? How many times will you get burned before you understand that you're looking at the wrong things? You're drawn in by things that are superficial. And to those of you who doubt your majesty, your beauty, let me tell you that you are. Just like Viola Davis's character said in the movie The Help, you are smart, you are kind, you are important. And if you could only see yourself the way God sees you, you don't hear me. I'm here to tell you, if you saw yourself the way God sees you, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter if they look over you, you will stand with your head up high and you will realize that it's their loss, not yours. And God can help you see what David is telling us in this psalm. When you love God, when you see God, when you truly love God and truly see God, you can see God for what he is and recognize the beauty of the human race, which means you recognize your own beauty. You realize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You realize that your works are wonderful and you know that full well. And when you get there, when you obtain this understanding, it's going to be like someone turned on the light switch. And you're going to look in the mirror and say, what was I thinking? Who was I looking at before now? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My works are wonderful, and I know this full well. I am smart. I am kind. I am important. In other words, focusing on your heart, focusing on love, love God and fellow man, love like this, and you will see the way God sees. God wants our affection and he wants us to have affection for one another. When I was in middle school, my mother couldn't afford to buy me the expensive shoes I wanted. She couldn't afford to buy me designer clothes. And during the winter, she got me this thick black coat with, fur on the hood. And I think she purchased this from Kmart. And that 12-year-old boy felt so insecure. And people picked on him about that coat. But if I could tell my younger self, if I could tell that 12-year-old child, if that's all they have to pick on you about, you're going to be okay. Trust God, love God, and love them despite their verbal attacks. Don't you know they are making fun of you just to make themselves feel better? Don't you know they have their own insecurities? So today, I'm telling that kid, that child who's in school right now, who's being picked on right now, who's being ridiculed, about their clothes or their looks. If that's all they have, if that's all they can say, you're going to be okay. Love God and love your fellow man. Now, Abraham Maslow presented what we now know as Maslow's hierarchy needs theory. And he believed that there are five models of needs. And you can't go to the next level, or you have no desire to go to the next level until the previous level is satisfied. So the first human need is physiological. You need food, water, and shelter. And nothing else matters until you satisfy this need. So without food, you have no desire to think about the next level, which is safety. But once your need of safety is satisfied, there are social needs. So we have social needs that we want satisfied. We want to belong. We want to be accepted. Being a part of a group means something. So when we're ridiculed or ostracized, it goes against that human desire, and one can feel lower than low. But there is strength in being closer to God. There is strength in reading the word, meditating, praying, and coming to the aid and being there for others who also feel rejected. That's who you turn to when you're not getting that need satisfied. Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." We all know who that is. So it's not worth being accepted. It's not worth fitting in with people you can't count on. You don't need them if they're not trustworthy. You shouldn't want them in your life if they're capricious. But no matter what, Jesus is by your side. So let them hate. Let them call you names. In the end, it's their loss. Don't you know God loves you? Don't you know Jesus is all you need? Don't allow people to determine whether you're attractive or not. Don't allow people to define you. You are good enough. You are acceptable, and God will take you as you are. When asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." If you truly love your neighbor, you accept your neighbor for who they are. If you truly love your neighbor, every neighbor, being your brother and sister in Christ, every neighbor is beautiful. And so are you. Stand with God, and you will never be alone. It's important to know that Jesus is always by your side. Amen. Thank you for joining us this week. And we want you to know how beautiful you are. And understand God made each of us and God makes no mistakes. Focus and love God, love your fellow man, and see the true beauty within. Amen. And remember, you are smart, you are kind, and you are truly, truly, truly important. I want to thank each of you for taking the time to listen to our program and for worshiping with us today. And I want to thank Lisa for the greeting and scripture reading, and Natasha, who has agreed to the request to add praise and worship to our program. And we want you to know again that all of you are beautiful. All of you are special. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. If you have a prayer request, we are here for you. And if you have questions, need advice, or just want to comment on our program, email us at theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. Again, that's theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. And remember, if you want to make a difference, you have to be different. God bless. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.